Thank you. I would like to first acknowledge my co-presenters who are sitting in the front row here, Wei Xuan Wang and Hao Ai Zhao, and they are PhD students at Indiana University. And also like to acknowledge the Open Door organization, like Laurel just mentioned, that we have been working with Open Doors organization with Eric Lip, executive director, and also Laurel on this big project, which is on innovations of airports. And this actually, these are some results that came out of the literature review that our students have done, or we have done for the project. I would like to start with some of the background information, which is probably very familiar to all of you, but I do like to provide some statistics so that we can put these issues in perspective in terms of what kind of scale that we're talking about. So globally, we are facing a older generation, aging population, and in the United States, it's projected that by the year of 2035, older adults who are people 65 and older are going to outnumber children who are 18 years and younger. And this is the first time ever in the US history. And it is known that as we age, the likelihood of having a disability also significantly increases. And according to United States Census Bureau, the probability of having a severe disability is only 1 in 20 for people who are between the age of 15 and 24. But this probability will increase to 1 in 4 to those people who are aged between 65 and 69. So although we may not all develop severe disability, but it is safe to say that as we age, we're all going to have some level of reduced abilities. But we do all like to travel, and we know that is prevalent in our modern day society that people travel cross borders and domestically. According to the U.S. Travel Association's report, in 2017, United States residents took about 2.2 billion person trips. And these trips, almost 80% of these trips were for leisure purposes. And we see that in research, there's evidence showing that leisure travel and holidays will contribute to individuals' life satisfaction and overall well-being. So for the aging adults or seniors, they will continue to travel too, and there's probably more older people will be traveling. A recent study that's done by American Association of Retired Persons, the report says that almost all baby boomers, to be exact, is 96% anticipated that they will do at least one leisure trip in 2018. And the market study done by Open Doors organization also saw increase in travel by people with disabilities. And at the summit, we have heard several people talk about how we define people with disabilities. But we know that accessible travel is not just applicable to people with disabilities in the traditional sense. We're also talking about people with temporary disabilities, with mental health issues such as the anxiety, and also disabling conditions as a result of chronic health condition, and of course the aging population, aging adults. So the sheer number of travelers is going to have great implications for the travel and tourism industry. In the case of air travel, and we know that airports are also experiencing increased number of air travelers. And in 2017, the busiest airport in the world, just let's name one airport, which is the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta, had more than 50 million passenger enplanements. So The result of the demand, as a result of the demand for air travel and also the increased number of travelers who will need mobility, cognitive, and sensory assistance, many airports are adopting innovative programs and services in order to meet the needs of passengers above and beyond what the law requires, the minimum requirements. So today what we will see is a few some of the common accessible practices by airports, but also some of the more innovative practices that's not necessarily very common at every airport. So specifically, we're going to look at practices that airport best practices that's going to meet the needs of people using mobility assistive devices, people who are deaf or hard of hearing, people who are blind or with low vision, and also cognitive disabilities, including autism spectrum disorders, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease. Some of the more common practices include wayfinding, which airports, depending on signage, and it's including Braille, to help passengers to navigate through airports. And other common practices is that airports have these text telephones that people who have speech disability maybe can use to communicate and ask questions. There's also visual paging systems that is quite common in through airports. There's also animal relief areas, if not beyond the security checkpoint, but at least before the security checkpoint. But now the airports all need to have animal relief areas beyond and before the security checkpoint. So some of the practices that we see are airports, wheelchair assistance. Usually, the airport's wheelchair assistance are airlines' responsibilities, but we see that some airports are picking up of the service where airlines' service is not available. So this is just like Prime Flight, for example, is one of the services that provide wheelchair assistance for airlines. And there's also, we see airports are installing hearing loops in certain areas, and then what's in the picture is in Atlanta Airport. And these hearing loops are inductive wire system that will speak directly to the hearing aid, so people can hear that announcements from the speaker or the PA system without the noise. And there's also the video relay services by airports. These are usually for passengers who will need American Sign Language so that you can request a service through American Sign Language interpreter who can call the hearing person and then sign back to the passenger who uses the sign language. For people with vision impairment, we see that airports are working on improved signage and focusing on moving towards more of this high contrast fonts. And these fonts are usually with black background with neutral colored lettering. And some even use digital signs that provide higher contrast. For passengers who are blind, we see more and more airports. I think, to be exact, there are probably 20 airports in the U.S. are subscribing to the IRIS service, which is a service that airports can subscribe to for the usage of this service, but it's provided for free to passengers who are blind. And the passenger can wear the smart glasses, and then it's connected with a human agent. And the agent from wherever can see what the smart glasses see, and then they can provide guidance that way. For travelers with families with kids for autism, we see that their airports have some have sensory rooms or quiet rooms. Actually, I guess the person who's responsible for uploading the PowerPoint did not really upload the most recent copy, updated copy, because we provided pictures of one of them is the Shannon Airport in Ireland, who has the probably one of the earliest sensory rooms to where kids can, family can calm the kids down and provide a quiet space so the kids can stay temporarily away from the noise and lightings that's in the airport situation. And there's also Wings for Autism programs that many airports, not many, but quite a few airports are collaborating with airlines and local community organizations, which provide training or familiarization tours for kids. So family can take their children to airports to familiarize the kids with the airport environment and going through checking in and then security check and then some even board an airplane. And then there's also story cards, the pictograms that kids can use to learn about airports. For older adults who have cognitive challenges, there's also airports who are trying to be more friendly to passengers with dementia. Heathrow Airport, we saw reports, and Heathrow Airports have really focused on staff training, and they work with local organizations and educate their staff about dementia. And their goal actually is to train all of their 76,000 staff about to be aware of dementia and then how to provide the service for older adults with dementia. In the US, we see a lot of airports have these ambassador programs who are often volunteers, volunteer-based, and often are former airport employees, and then they provide face-to-face customer service for people needs individualized service. And in our review of all the services, we also found there are technologies or programs that's on the horizon. And some of these are indoor navigation programs for passengers who have vision disabilities. Some of these have been tested or are being tested. But I don't think any of these are mature programs yet. There's also for mobility assistive device. The news, I guess, is it can attach to a wheelchair, and so make it motorized, to make all the wheelchairs motorized, yeah. And there's also the programs wearable, Silver is a wearable hybrid, it's not GRP, it's a typo, it's a GPS device to track people with dementia who might get lost in airport situation. So all of these are what we have reviewed, right? And then in conclusion, what we've in our review of these different services, we found that airports are really making great progress moving towards having universal accessibility, of course, but we're not there yet. And some of the other observations we found is that some of these services, we find technologies as on the horizon or being tested, but for some reason they were not implemented or adopted. So we feel like there's still further research that needs to be done to identify reasons why, what are the challenges or barriers for airports to adopt or implement some of these programs. And the last observation that we had was that we observed these, we noticed these services, but we really don't know how effective, how each of these programs have been perceived, how well they have been, how effective they have been to help people with disabilities. We felt like it would be interesting if there's additional research that can be done to look at how the hearing loops or any of these programs have been working or have been received by passengers with disabilities. So those are just some of the basic observations we had while we were working on this project with the Open Doors organization. Okay. Thanks. Thank you.